I've been reading a new book by a man called Paul Tripp. It's called Suffering. I've been reading books by Paul Tripp and listening to talks by him for absolutely years. I had no idea until I got this book, but absolutely out of nowhere, in 2014, Paul Tripp was struck down with really severe kidney failure. Out of nowhere, he went through 6 operations in 2 years, 6 really big operations. Each one was followed by catheterization, so he had to wear a bag attached to his leg. Each operation involved a terrible amount of pain and weakness and sleepless nights. He says in the book that he has been left permanently damaged. He will never be as effective or energetic as he once was. But here's what's really striking, okay? He says, when I realized that weakness and fatigue would be with me for the rest of my life, the blow was not just physical, it was spiritual. Before all this stuff happened to me, I would have told you that my identity was firmly rooted in Christ. But illness showed me that underneath, actually, much of my identity was rooted in my physical strength and my ability to be extremely productive. You see, before he got sick, Paul Tripp spent his life travelling the world, speaking at conferences. I know, because he was at Word Alive a few years ago, and I heard him, and he was very good. When he wasn't speaking at conferences, he was writing book after book, and I've got a lot of them, and they're very good. He had this immensely fruitful ministry. But his ministry had become his identity. And if that's the case, what happens when your ministry is destroyed? What happens when you suffer the loss of that thing in which you have been trusting? Well, the problem is you lose your identity and you lose the security that that thing was providing. One of the really big questions that the book of Jonah asks you is, where do you find your identity? Because your identity shows who or what you really worship. Your identity shows who or what is your God. So remember the story so far. Jonah the prophet is sent to preach against the city of Nineveh, wicked, depraved, nasty pagans and enemies of God's people. Jonah says, no way, I'm not doing that. Shove off, God. I'm in charge. No to what you say. He runs from God, but he runs straight into a storm. He sins against God, but he can't avoid the consequences because every sin has a storm attached to it. Do you remember? Every sin has a storm attached to it. And this is no ordinary storm. They've already thrown all the cargo into the sea. Each sailor has already called out to his own God. Nothing has worked. They figure out somehow that this storm must be a punishment for sin. They must therefore discover who the wrongdoer is. And by a process of casting lots, Jonah is revealed as that man. And when that happens, the sailors start asking him all these questions. And they are all questions about identity. So look with me, please. Verse 8. Is that in the first reading? Yes, it is. In the first reading, verse 8. They say to him, tell us, who is responsible for making all this trouble? What kind of work do you do? Where do you come from? What is your country? From what people are you? Those are all identity questions. They want to know who Jonah is because they understood something that we don't. This is really important, okay? They understood that your identity, who you are, is rooted in what you worship. If they know who Jonah is, they'll know who his God is. They'll know because the two things are inextricably linked. Your identity is rooted in what you worship. And you may say, well, Louis, that is all a bit irrelevant to us, isn't it? Because nobody goes around worshipping gods today, do they? That's just superstition. It's a load of mumbo jumbo. What's this got to do with us? And if you were to say that to me, I would say, ah, but wait a minute. Hang on a minute, okay? You say you have no gods. We may not have, actually, Mercury, the Roman god of commerce, to whom we burn animal sacrifices. But let me tell you, lots of people worship money. And the sacrifice that people who worship money offer to that god is their moral standards and their family life. If you've not seen it, I have. People worship the god of money and they sacrifice offerings of their family life and their moral standards. We may not have Venus, the Roman god of beauty, but do I honestly need to finish that? You and I, we know people, don't we? Many of us worship our body image. Dare I say, our hairstyle, our beauty. Some of us worship the idea of sexual fulfillment and we'll look in different places for it. We may not have Bacchus, the Roman god of parties, but so many of us live for our pleasures, or we live for our holidays, or we live for our family. So many of our young people worship the idea of celebrity or fame. Maybe you do. You see, the sailors are absolutely right. To ask the question, who are you, is to ask the question, whose are you? Your identity shows what you have really given yourself to. It shows what controls you. It shows what you are really trusting in. So a really, really, really good question to ask yourself this morning is this. What is the one thing that if it were taken away from me, I would lose my identity? What is the one thing, if it were taken away from you, you would lose your identity? Please keep listening, because I tell you what, there is fantastic news by the time we get to the end. Fantastic news for every one of us, all right? But this just shows how instructive Jonah's answer is, because in verse 9 he finally speaks. So much has happened, doesn't it? In 8 verses, we've not heard a word from Jonah. In verse 9 he speaks. What does he say? I am a Hebrew. You ask me for my identity? I am a Hebrew. He mentions God. But really, it's trumped by I am a Hebrew. I wonder what you would say. What would it be for you? I am married to Daphne. I'm British. I'm from New Haven. I'm not from New Haven. That might be your identity. I've been at this church since 1925. I'm a Brighton season ticket holder. I used to be a lawyer, but now I'm a vicar. Where does Jonah root his identity? He roots it in his nationality. He roots it in his ethnicity. He roots it in his race. Tim Keller says, in a passage that is so sparing with words, in a passage that is so brief and so concise, it's very revealing that Jonah puts being Hebrew out front as the most significant part of his identity. Which completely explains, doesn't it, why he didn't want to go to Nineveh. My nation, my people are massive to me. I don't want our enemies to prosper. I don't want them brought into the kingdom of God. They don't belong. They don't deserve. Those people deserve punishment because they worship idols. Oh dear. By his actions and by his words, Jonah has just confessed that he is just as much an idolater as those nasty Ninevites. Because in the end, what he really worships is his national identity, not the God of heaven who made the sea and the dry land. So in fact, it turns out And this might be you. It might be you this morning. It turns out that the prophet of God, this great Christian man, he needs the love and the mercy and the forgiveness of God just as much as all those nasty pagans. But he still doesn't see it. And the storm hasn't stopped. Verse 11, second reading is that? Verse 11, yeah. It's so concise, this language. The sea was getting rougher and rougher. So they asked him, what should we do? And at last, Jonah shows a bit of concern for somebody else. He says, basically, there's only one way to escape. You'll have to pick me up and throw me into the sea, then it will become calm. I know that it is my fault that this great storm has come upon you. I'm the one with whom God is angry. Throw me in. So imagine the scene, okay? Beautiful day. And you are on the blessed, beautiful ferry from New Haven to Dieppe. Isn't that a wonderful thought? I love that ferry. I stop and look at it every day I see it. My children think we're mad. But I just look at it and I think, beautiful. So there you are, you're on the ferry. You're going to France. What could be better than France? You're on this ferry, beautiful yellow-white ferry. And then suddenly, this happens. And we've got a picture, Anna. That is a true picture of the New Haven Dieppe ferry taken in 2013 during a storm. At least, that's what I was told. Okay? You're just going along and then that happens, okay? And everyone's ill. Everyone's vomiting. Everyone's scared. The captain comes over the tannoy and he says, one more wave like that and we're finished. And then this little fellow bobs up and says, it's all my fault. Pick me up and throw me in and then it'll be calm. Well, of course the sailors say, we can't do that. Are you ridiculous? We can't just pick you up and throw you into that, can we? And so verse 13, they try and they save themselves by rowing back to land. I guess that their trust and their identity was in their strength, wasn't it? They thought, we'll put our trust in our strength. But they can't do it. And after praying to the Lord, just notice how Lord is spelled there in verse 14, L-O-R-D, we'll come back to that, capitals, we'll come back to that. That's the Lord, the God of Jonah. They pray to Jonah's God. They do that and then they take Jonah and they throw him into that. They throw him into that. And the raging sea grew calm. Now, please hear this. If you've been having a little snooze, please, you've got to hear this, all right? We've looked at the problem of identity and where we find it. We're now going to look at the pattern of salvation and how God saves people. This is massive, okay? In the New Testament, Matthew chapter 12, Jesus talks about Jonah and referring to himself, Jesus says, one greater than Jonah is now here. There is a connection between Jonah and Jesus. There are differences too. We're going to look at the differences really quickly, all right? Jonah was disobedient. He refused God's call. Whereas Jesus is the perfect, perfectly obedient Son of God who never disobeyed his Father. Because of his disobedience, Jonah is facing a storm of his own making. He is justly facing God's anger because of his own sin. Jesus also faced a storm, the storm of death. But Jesus has no sin. He endures the storm of crucifixion for you and for me, for our sin. And that's where you start to see the connection. That's where you start to see the pattern. The moment Jonah goes overboard, the raging sea is calmed. The moment Jonah enters the sea, the storm of God's anger is propitiated. It is turned away. It is blown out. The moment Jonah is sacrificed, all the others on the ship are saved. And so we see this principle at work. We see this pattern of salvation. We see the one who is willingly sacrificed to save the many. We see the one who lays down his life in the place of the many. Do you see? That's what's going on. Jonah is not Jesus, but he points us to the cross at Calvary, where Christ dies for sins once for all, the righteous one for the many unrighteous to bring us to God. These sailors cannot save themselves. They try to save themselves, but they can't do it. They are saved only through substitutionary sacrifice. Jonah takes the storm for them in their place. We can't save ourselves. We think that we can, but we can't. We need the same substitutionary sacrifice, Jesus, who takes the storm that our sin deserves, so we don't have to. So here's a couple of things as we finish, all right? This only makes sense if you really understand who Jesus is. This pattern of salvation, it only makes sense when you really, really get that the Son of God, Jesus, is totally and equally God as much as God the Father is God. Right? On the cross, God punishes sin. God punishes sin. But on the cross, God bears the punishment for sin. It is the self-substitution of God. And here's the thing. Just please listen. A God who substitutes himself and suffers for us so that we can go free is most definitely a God whom we can trust. So go back to where we started. Where do you find your identity? Your identity shows what controls you. It shows where you really put your trust. For Paul Tripp, he realized that he was putting his trust in his energy, in his health, in his productivity. For other people, maybe you, it's your money, it's your ability, your music, your sport. Maybe it's your family, it's your beauty, maybe it's your popularity. But the problem, friends, with all those things is they are so very fragile. They so easily break. They so easily get taken away. They so easily disappear and evaporate. So Jesus says, find your identity in me. Come to me. Put your ultimate trust in me. You see, my identity, he says, comes to you as a gift. My identity comes to you by grace, and precisely because you have not earned it, you cannot deserve it. Precisely for those reasons, it is absolutely secure, unlike all that other stuff. Jesus says, I know everything there is to know about you. I know it. I see your heart. I see the wretchedness of your life. I loved you when you were truly horrible. You have nothing to prove. I came and died for you when you were my enemy. Unlike anything or anyone else, I will never fail you. Never. So let me say again, a God who substitutes himself and suffers for you is most eminently a God in whom you can put your trust. All these other gods are fake. And they do let us down. Jonah is yet to understand all this. So if you still don't get it, you're in good company. But the effect on the sailors is dramatic. As we said last week, God uses the storm to wake these men up, to show them things that they would never have seen without the storm. They would never have cared about without the storm. They go from each crying out to their own God to verse 16. Do look at it. Verse 16, at this, at the calming of the storm, the men greatly feared the Lord, Yahweh, the God of the Bible. And they offered a sacrifice to the Lord Not just some fake god, the real God. And they made vows to him. The pagans have become Christians. And the Christian has gone overboard. We don't know what's happened to him yet. We'll find out in 2 weeks. Please don't go home without considering these things. Where, friends, is your identity? I've had to think about this. What am I worshipping? What is the one thing, if it were taken away, I would lose my identity? And then look at what Jesus offers you. Amen.